Good evening. It is, in fact, my favorite evening. It is my favorite service of the entire year. And the more I think about it, the more I reflect on it, the more I love it. Because I think this service is one of those services that really shows the vision that we have for the church. The vision of the three ancient streams flowing together in one mighty river. Because in this service we have the evangelical, the charismatic, and the sacramental all flowing together in an incredibly powerful and moving way. Because in this service, we look at the scriptures, we look at what Jesus has done, and we say that what's written here is true. This is the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is divinely inspired. And it contains all that we need. And we look at that, and based on that, we see what we do today. We see not just the Holy Eucharist, where Jesus gives him himself, but we see in what we do here the command to humble ourselves and wash feet. And in doing both of those acts, the Spirit of God moves and something miraculous happens. Let's look at what we're talking about here. From our Old Testament reading, we see the Passover. We see God speak to Moses and give him the directions. This is what you have to do. This is how you're going to do it. This is what I want you to wear while you're doing it. And this is why. This is going to be a sign for you forever. And when you put the blood on the lintels and on the doorposts, the spirit of death is going to pass over you. It'll strike down the firstborn of all the Egyptians, but you who are marked with the blood, it's going to pass over you. And this is going to be a sign for you forever. You have to do this every year. They, in fact, had a makeup day. If you missed the Passover, you could do it on another date because you had to do the Passover. And if you didn't, you were exiled from the community. And he even made allowance. This is how much God loves his people. He made allowance for the poor. And if you can't afford your own lamb, get together with your neighbor. It's your obligation to take in your neighbor. Can't afford it, we've got you covered. Pull your resources, get together, go visit someone else. That was expected. And in this, God foreshadowed Christ's coming thousands of years before he showed up. We can look at all the different passages that we've studied over the last month in Lent when we are looking at the Jewish roots of the Eucharist. We can see that God gave them the manna in the wilderness that they might have food for their journey. Once they got out of the bondage in Egypt, while they were on their travels to finally enter into the promised land, God gave them manna every day. Not that they could store it up and hoard it, but so that they could have food for their daily walk. We saw the bread of the presence, the show bread, that God commanded to be put in the tabernacle, along with the golden lampstand, the menorah, and the Ark of the Covenant. And this was the bread of the presence. And then, in the Eucharist, we see that God gives us our daily bread. we see that we receive what he's giving us, and we know that it's his presence. Because he said, "This is my body. This is my blood. This is given for you." And when he taught us to pray, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our spiritual, our supernatural bread, that we can go through everything that you have for us." This is the queen of all sacraments. This is the way that we receive the grace that he gives us spiritually and inwardly in an outward, visible sign. This is the greatest sign of his love to us. In this, we receive everything that we need. That in and of itself is powerful. And on this night, we remember that hours before he was to be slaughtered, he took time to tell us of all of this. He took time to share this with his apostles that they might remember it. He took the most powerful liturgy and ritual that the Jews had, and he changed it to be about himself, so that we now have Christ our Passover. My favorite one verse in the Passion narrative is when Pilate washed his hands of Jesus and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood," and the Jews cry out and they say, "His blood be upon us and on our children." And they do it sneeringly. They do it snidely. They say, "You don't want his blood on you? Put his blood on us. We're fine with that. Slaughter him. Crucify him." And God, in his overwhelming sense of irony, uses the blood of Christ to heal, to set free, to overcome. And when we are washed in his blood, our sins are washed away. The irony of that one verse overwhelms me. While we were yet sinners, while we hated him, while we called out for his death, he showed his love for us. But the sacramental nature of this night goes beyond the Eucharist. And sacrament is such a, that's a church word. It's one that people use, and immediately some people go, St. Paul uses the word mystery. This is a great mystery. He uses it when he's talking about holy matrimony, when he's talking about the two becoming one in a sign and symbol of the love that God has for his church. He says, this is a great mystery. This is a great mystery. That God, who was all-powerful, would give himself in this incredibly humble way. That he would put who he was, not just in a lowly baby in the manger, but in bread and wine. And would give us himself over and over and over again, whenever we had need of him. But there's more to it than that. Years ago, I was at a clergy retreat, and there was a bishop who talked about the sacraments, and he talked about the outward and visible signs of the inward and spiritual grace that's poured out on us. And he talked about the priesthood. He said, in the ordination, the clergy themselves become a sacrament for the congregation. They become a sign and symbol of God's grace. They're called out, they're set apart, and they serve God. And they serve God, if it's done right, humbly. They serve God doing what he calls us to do. And as such, the clergy themselves become a sacrament. I heard the patriarch preach a sermon where he said that the deacons were the gray icons of the servant heart of Christ. It was the most powerful little phrase I've ever heard in a sermon. Gray icons of the servant heart of Christ. Because they become symbols to us of how God became flesh and came not to be served, but to serve. And tonight, we act that out even more. Because tonight, we come before you and we kneel down. We wash your feet. And yes, that's a reminder to us that while we get to wear the fancy clothes and get the fancy titles and have all the perks that come along with being clergy and being a pastor, that we're called to be servants. And we're called to serve you in whatever way we can do. And just like Christ knelt down and washed the feet of the apostles, we kneel down and wash your feet. And that becomes a symbol to you that God humbled himself. That he said, hey, if I'm going to do this to you, you do it for each other. This is a reminder. This is an outward visible sign of the grace that he gives us, of how humble he was. And the way we do it, as we're washing your feet, we're praying for you. So this is an opportunity for ministry. This isn't just some weird stick your foot in water kind of thing. This is an opportunity to be blessed, to be healed, to be set free. Is it awkward? Absolutely. It's awkward for you to come forward and let some guy wash your feet. It's awkward for us. Not just that we're kneeling down on the floor. Do you know what a pain it is to take all this stuff on and off again? It's awkward. So is the servant life. The servant life means kneeling down before people who you may not like and serving them, praying for them, giving your life for them when they don't like you, when they say mean things about you. It means hearing that backbiting person talk about how horrible you are, and when the crisis comes to them the very next moment, going to them and praying for them, telling them that you're there for them. Is this awkward? Yes, it is. Is it humbling? Yes. But is it any less humbling than God emptying himself, becoming flesh, and then dying on a cross for people who hated him? This night is a night that is full of symbolism. We wash your feet as a sign of our servanthood that reminds you what God did, how he washed us of our sins, and does it over and over again. That he calls us to be servants. As we get down on our hands and knees and do something that we would never do under ordinary circumstances. You're reminded of your call to serve this world. Hey, I'd much rather it be today than 2,000 years ago. Those feet were dirty. We go up to the altar and we receive his body and blood like he promised he would give us. The body and blood which he said, if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, I will raise you up on the last day. This is the pledge of eternal life which he gives us. This is where we make that great exchange, where we offer our gifts of our sinfulness, our brokenness, our woundedness. We offer it to him when we lift up our hearts. And he gives us his glory, his power, his forgiveness. And then, after all is said and done, we dim the lights and we start stripping the altar. We take everything out. And we do that because when he was betrayed, when he was handed over to those who would ultimately murder him, he was stripped down even to his bare bones. He was stripped of his clothes. He was stripped of his dignity. He was stripped of that which we would call humanity. Scriptures say that there was no form of beauty found in him. He was unrecognizable. And so we take all of the decorations, all of the adornments away. We hear about his betrayal. And this is a reminder to us that we weren't ever promised a rose garden when we came to follow Christ. We weren't promised, hey, if you follow me, everyone will love you and bless you and say, oh, I'm so glad you're here. No, in fact, he promised us exactly the opposite. He said, a servant is not above his master. If they hated me, they will hate you. And we are so blessed to live in a country where that hatred is sneers and jokes and resentment, as opposed to people walking to our churches with suicide vests on. Remember those who died in the churches in Egypt as they were proclaiming, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. As they were worshiping on Palm Sunday, just like we did. Remember those who became martyrs for the faith. We weren't promised that everyone would love us. We were promised the opposite. And that is another sacrament we see tonight. We see everything up here stripped down to nothingness. Even while we recite the same psalms that Jesus and the apostles sang as they got up and left the Last Supper, as they headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, and as Jesus awaited his betrayal. This is a powerful, powerful night. And it is the reminder of all that we have in Christ. We have forgiveness. We have the pledge of eternal life. We have a God who came to serve us and calls us to serve others. And we have the promise that even though we're going to get betrayed and stabbed in the back and people will hate us, he's going to be with us forever. And even though it looks like he might be gone, he's coming back. And he's always with us in our hearts. This is a powerful, powerful night. This is a night for all of us to be reminded of the mystery of God's incarnation, of his glory on the earth, what he did for us. I don't pray, Lord, I hope you show up at the service today. I might be stepping on some toes, but I think that's silly. God is in all places. He's there. We never have to say, oh, I hope God shows up, because he's here. He's here with us now. He's here at our jobs. He's with us in our work, in our school, in our car, in our homes. He is wherever we are. We don't have to pray for him to show up. We have to pray, as we said in our worship today, let us become more aware of your presence. And this is an opportunity for us to become aware of what he's done for us. May we truly become more aware of his presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.